Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie. It's 94 WIP. 76ers get a good win last night. We'll talk about that as we move through the show as well. Covington and Dario with some nice ovations in the building. All right, Shil Kapadia in a moment. This hour, let's give you a chance to win $1,000 right now. Do it at the start of 11 o'clock hour every day. And this hour's code word giving you that chance to win $1,000 is beef. As in what, John Ritchie?
Beef.
Come on, beef. Where's the beef?
Come on, man. It's what's for dinner.
No, or beef, what's for dinner.
I was thinking what's for dinner, too.
Oh, you guys are disappointed. All right, so text beef to 72, or beefcake. Wasn't it what, Brutus the Beefcake? Was
Brutus
that his name?
Brutus the Beefcake Barber.
Remember that guy?
Brutus the Barber Beef.
That's it. Yeah, the Barber Beefcake. You're right. All right.
Text beef to 72, or we got a beef. What's your beef? All right, text beef to 72881 now for your chance to win. One randomly selected nationwide entrant's going to win $1,000. Message and data rates may apply. For rules or to enter online, visit entercomcontest.com. Another chance to win $1,000 today at noon, and chances the rest of this week and for weeks to come, 11 a.m. and noon every day on our show. All right, let's go out on the Schwartz-Culleton guest line. If you're injured at work, get justice. Call Schwartz-Culleton at 800-JUSTICE. Great job covering the Eagles all season long for The Athletic. Joining us every Wednesday at this time, Mr. Shil Kapadia. Hello, Shil.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Doing great, Shil.
We're good, Shil. Shil, let's unpack the last couple days here. I mean, I think we got a pretty good feel for the game. We may go back to it, but let me ask you this. Of everything that you have seen or everything that you have heard since the game ended on Sunday night, what has stood out to you the most? What has grabbed your attention the most that has been said or that has occurred?
That's a great question. I think it's probably what Howie Roseman, some of the things he said yesterday wasn't the most newsworthy press conference, but there were two things I was keeping my ears out for. One was, is this franchise going to kind of fool itself into saying, you know what, we had a great season and we got it going at the end and things didn't go in the beginning, but we don't need to make a lot of changes. I didn't get the sense that's the way they're going to approach it. I think they realized that, you know, for 10, 11, 12, 13 weeks, this was a mediocre football team, and they do need to make some changes on the roster. And so I think that was probably one of the biggest things that stood out to me when we look at this offseason and how they're going to approach it.
So your takeaways from the game itself, Shil, you know, we haven't had a chance to talk to you, but how was Nick's performance? How was the team's performance compared to what you were expecting?
It was very disappointing offensively. You know, they get off to that great start, and then you don't score a point after the 4:37 mark of the first quarter. I mean, yeah. They finished that game seven straight drives without scoring, and I actually just watched the film of those this morning, and, you know, it's going to hurt people to hear it, but, you know, Nick Foles did not play well during that stretch. I mean, mm-hmm. I was taking notes on every drive. What was the issue? That interception, looking for Zach Ertz. I mean, Ertz ran a great route, a great wheel route. It was a good route concept. He was open. That's potentially an explosive play. Foles underthrows him there. He missed Ertz on another drive that could have been a key first down. He underthrew Golden Tate on kind of a deep over route on the right side. And then I think the one that probably will stick with them is they had Jordan Matthews weren't on the same page on a key third down late, where it looked like Foles was expecting him to run a corner out, and Matthews read the coverage of the leverage a little bit differently and kind of flattened it out and ran more of an out route, and that ended up in an incompletion. So, I mean, Foles had been so good. He had been so clutch. You know, if Alshon catches that last pass, Foles probably, you know, I think probably drives him in to the end zone. But just when you can't go into New Orleans against that offense and come away with seven straight possessions to end the game with no points.
Does that game affect the way teams will view Nick this offseason?
I mean, normally I would say no, but there is a recency bias in the NFL with some of these GMs and decision makers where it's the last thing that sticks in their head. Now, I think if you're a smart organization, you look at the entire body of work, what the guy has done over the past 2 years, I think he definitely deserves to be a starter. I think he's very well could be a top half of the NFL starter if given the opportunity in the right situation. But, you know, who knows? If it's a dumb organization who just looked at that last game and is going to make a decision there, it could influence them a little bit.
Now, let me ask you this. From your standpoint, what you think the Eagles' strategy on Foles should be, what would be your answer to that question?
This is a complicated situation, and I encourage people to check out. I did a long piece with Joe Banner on The Athletic Philly today where we broke down all eight scenarios that could play out with Nick Foles. Now, what I think is going to happen is one of two things. One is that the Eagles say, okay, we'll exercise that option, and Foles will say, no, thank you. Here's $2 million back. I'm going to go become a free agent. That's scenario one. Or I think scenario two, the Eagles might just say, you know what? We're just going to decline that option. We don't have a chance to keep him, and he'll go on his way. And in both those scenarios, the Eagles will get a compensatory pick that will be at the end of the third round. Those are the most likely situations.
Wow. Let's talk about the guys who are up for free agency this offseason and how they played according to your film study. Brandon Graham, how did he look in the game? How did he look this season? Is it likely that he'll be back?
You know, I didn't think he had a great season. He was coming off the injury in the offseason. I don't think he made as many impact plays as he had in the past. If you look at all the numbers, sacks, hurries, all those things, they were all down from where he had been. Now, in this game, he obviously had the big sack fumble where if they recover it, that can be an impact play. So that was obviously a big play in the game. You know, he's a tough one because the sense I got from him is that he wants to test the market. He's been wanting to get paid, and he wants to get paid. And so if there's a team out there, you know, I look at someone like the Colts. Watching that Colts game over the weekend, they can use some pass rush. He's a veteran that Frank Reich knows. They run a 4-3. They've got more cap space than any other team in the NFL. You know, if there's a team or two like that, I think he's gone. If he goes out and he tests the market and he doesn't get the offer he's looking for and it's close between somewhere else and the Eagles, I do think he likes it here. He's got a family. He knows the locker room, all those different things. So there's a chance. I think he'll test the market, and it just depends. I mean, if you're asking my gut, I think he'll probably find an offer that he likes on the market, and he'll probably be gone.
Wow. Okay, so there are a lot of guys I'm not even going to ask you about. You know, guys like Paul Warlow, Mike Wallace. I mean, we didn't see him play.
I hope we don't talk about poor Paul Warlow.
But a guy like Jordan Hicks, who couldn't really find his way back onto the field at the end of the season due to injury, but maybe due to more. How did he play in his return, and do you think he'll be back?
I mean, they haven't used him a lot. You know, they're in, when they go to dime, it's good Nigel Bradham out there, and he's been okay. You know, I haven't been impressed, really that impressed with Jordan Hicks either of the past 2 years. It seems like it's been a while since he's been an impact player, and then you throw on top of that the injury concerns and the linebacker position on the open market. Those guys typically are not getting huge deals. So I don't think he's going to find a huge market out there. You know, if I'm the Eagles, I wouldn't be in a hurry to bring him back. But if it's a one-year deal on a team-friendly deal, and you say, okay, we'll bring him back for next year, and he might want to prove his worth, try to stay healthy for the whole year, make some more plays before he gets a bigger payday, I would look into that. But I would be very cautious. He's not someone I would make a priority, to be quite honest, to bring back.
What do the Eagles do about Golden Tate?
I think you let him go. I mean, it hasn't seemed like a good fit from the start. You know, he made some plays in the Bears game, but even on the game-winning play, the guy didn't know the play call coming out of the huddle.
Yeah.
So, it just didn't seem like a great fit for him. And for them, it's tough to join a team middle of the season, but I would expect him to be gone.
How about the backs, Sproles and Jay Ajayi?
I mean, I think if I'm the Eagles, I know everyone kind of poo-poos the running back position around the league and, you know, don't put a lot of stock in that. And I'm not saying they should overpay someone, but I think it's got to be a priority either through the draft, free agency, trade, or a couple of those things. You need a difference-making back who can both be good when the blocking's not perfect, and also especially in the passing game, and they just haven't had that. I know there's sort of a nostalgia, a sentimentality with Darren Sproles, but I mean, the guy wasn't healthy for most of the year. He's up there in age. It just makes sense from kind of a business perspective, if you're asking me, to move on from him. Jay Ajayi, he's another guy who probably is going to have to sign a one-year prove-it deal. I mean, he's coming off of an injury.
Yeah.
He's had knee issues in the past, so if you can get him on a team-friendly deal and have him be sort of part of the running back group, I would look into that, and, you know, that's something he may have to settle for.
I mean, could he be as cheap as, like, $2 million, Sheil? Like, you get Ajayi back just because there's no market for him?
He could be, yeah. I mean, you know, he's had those chronic knee issues. A lot of teams didn't want to touch him in the draft, and they
right.
didn't want any part of him right now. And that's something, obviously, the Eagles have to look into as well is, you know, can the guy hold up? But you're probably looking at a one-year deal with him. So, yeah, I don't think that's crazy.
What's the market going to look like for Ronald Darby?
Great question.
You know what? Teams are always looking for corners, and he's got the raw physical cover skills. And so, you know, I think there will be a market for him. I personally am not a fan of his game. You know, I think he's not a great tackler. I don't think he's good at the catch point, even when his coverage is good. Guys make plays over him. And so I feel like there's too many flaws in his game to pay him a lot of money. But when you look at some of the cornerbacks around the league who are starting, I'm sure there's a team out there with cap space who will say, you know what, this guy was a high draft pick. He has had some good tape in the league. He's still relatively young. We'll give him a nice deal.
Do they cut bait on Haloti Ngata?
I think so, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
He was a little bit better down the stretch, but I think that, you know, a guy like Trayvon Hester, is there really a big drop-off between Haloti Ngata and Trayvon Hester, who's getting paid next to nothing? I mean, I don't think so. So I think rotational defensive tackle, kind of the run stuffers, two down players, that's where you have to go cheap when you look at building the roster.
And Howie also talked about the D-line depth in this year's draft, which I think sort of foreshadowed some things. What about Chris Long? We love him in this town. We love the way he plays, but yeah, he may be gone.
You know, he had really interesting comments. I don't know that they've been out there yet. I'm going to write about him today. But, yeah, he was saying he's looking for the right football fit and sort of indicating that he felt like he could play more snaps, that, you know, this sort of rotational role limited him a little bit, which kind of, you know, I was caught off guard a little bit by, to be quite honest. So I think he's someone who's going to take his time. He's thought about retiring before, but they do have legitimate question marks on the defensive line. You know, Michael Bennett's under contract. Is he going to come back? Chris Long, you have Derek Barnett coming off of an injury, and you really only have one sure bet, and that's Fletcher Cox. So, yeah, I think that's an area I would be surprised if, you know, one or two of their picks in the first three, four rounds are not defensive linemen. I think that's an area mm-hmm. where they've got to get younger in a hurry and sort of, you know, that's the foundation of that defense.
All right, Sheil, Brandon Brooks, as John will tell you from now until forever, I'm no medical expert. I am not a medical expert, but I like to think I've got some common sense. And when I heard Brandon Brooks might be out only 6 to 8 months, it struck me as highly bizarre. Am I wrong to interpret that as a very light time away for such a serious injury?
You know, at his size, it's definitely concerning. I mean, he's one of the biggest guys on the team, and Achilles, all those different things. But, you know, the standard, I don't think 8 months is crazy. I think he's someone who's probably going to be on PUP, and he's not going to do anything in the summer, and then the beginning of the season's going to roll around, and maybe he misses the beginning of the year but is available to you at some point in the first month. Maybe he has a really good rehab process, and he's available to you in week one, but it certainly is a question mark. You know, it's not only when does he come back, it's how does he look, how does he move when he does come back, and you combine that with the fact that you don't know what you're going to do with Jason Peters. Jason Kelce has mentioned retiring. He didn't shoot down those rumors, and so, you know, the offensive line is definitely a concern. I think you have some okay young players who you can develop. Jeff Stoutland is a great position coach, but that's certainly an area to keep an eye on this offseason.
Is Chance Warmack dependable enough or good enough to keep around even with all of that up-in-the-airedness of our offensive line?
I mean, I don't think so. I don't know why he's been around this long, to be quite honest. I mean, he's not even a backup guard. I mean, they go to his, you know, they go to another guy. So you're talking about a third-string guard who costs you like $2 million or something this season. I don't get that. I would think one of the younger guys, maybe like Matt Pryor, the rookie they drafted last year, you would hope that he can sort of fill that role.
All right, Shane, one other thing. John and I were asked a question last hour by a caller. We weren't really sure of the answer. Thought maybe you have a sense. If the Eagles do franchise Nick Foles and they haven't traded him as free agency's begun, I don't know the date, March 10, 15, whatever, and he's still not traded April 1st and he's still not traded April 10th, does Nick Foles, if they trade him May 1st or before the draft April 20th, does Foles being on the Eagles roster while franchised impact their ability to get free agents in under the cap during the heavy portion of the free agent period in mid to late March?
Yeah, so the reason the franchise tag is not a great option, despite I think some of the spin that the Eagles are putting out there, is that you're talking about $25 million that is guaranteed. And so, I actually think it's a cap hold as soon as you offer that. But certainly Nick Foles might, if he signs that right away, he's guaranteed $25 million for next year. And that's money that you cannot spend on any other areas of the roster, obviously. And this team is not in great cap space right away. And you know, you think about, all right, if they use the franchise tag and try to trade him, well, is another team going to say, yeah, we'll give you a first or second round pick for a guy who's only signed for 1 year and who's going to take up $25 million of cap space for us and will give up compensation? That is very far-fetched to me. So I think that's something that the Eagles are kind of trying to float out there a little bit, maybe to create some leverage and create a trade opportunity. But to me, it seems like a huge risk because, like I said earlier, if you just let him walk, you're getting a comp pick that's going to be in the third round. So is that difference in what you're going to get really worth having that $25 million cap hold if you're trying to sign free agents, trade for guys, extend current guys? It really puts them in a big hole.
Fascinating. Shield, phenomenal, truly phenomenal work all season with us here on the show, obviously on The Athletic as well, with your great articles on the Eagles. Thank you so much for being a huge part of our show this football season. We look forward to talking, obviously, in the all season.
It's been fun, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Shield.
All right, there he is. He is a machine, John.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, that guy is very good at what he does. He really is.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.